Good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. Andrew Salchunas here on 97.5 The Fanatic, taking you until noon on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Another windows down kind of drive, Josh. It's a good day. Good day to start the day driving in. And good day because we have Flyers action tonight. We finally got the time late last night. Felt like we were waiting forever to get the time for the Flyers game, but we finally got it last night. The Flyers will be playing the Lightning tonight at 8 o'clock, fighting for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is just amazing. And I'll get into all kinds of stuff, Flyers hockey today. I'm going to get into stuff with the Sixers, stuff with the Phillies. Spencer Howard will be up on this weekend. We'll be pitching on Sunday. But it's funny. You know, Anthony's been saying something during the week on the midday program regarding the lack of buzz that there is for the Flyers. And I don't sense it on social media, but I do sense it, you know, when we have the everyday conversation. Like, there's people that call in, and every once in a while somebody gets really excited. But I think there's almost like a sense of, like, a confused fan base. And when I say this, I mean, people, I don't think people know the format of the NHL. Last weekend, I was with, you know, my father-in-law watching the game. He's a big sports man. And he asked me, you know, all right, so what's the deal with the format again? Throughout the week, as screening calls during the midday show, I would get somebody that called in and said, hey, by the way, can you just explain the round-robin tournament and explain, like, what's this five-game series that's going on with the other teams? Why aren't the Flyers in a five-game series? I think there is a large amount of people that, because they're not big hockey fans, and I've talked about this, hockey is fourth on my pecking order, but it's my job to, you know, watch and cover and all this stuff, so I know the format. But I think there are a lot of people where hockey's fourth, and they're starting to get excited for the Flyers because the Flyers are the darling of Philadelphia right now. Obviously, it's not the Sixers. The Phillies, the bullpen, we're all concerned about. And the Eagles are still a month away. But the Flyers are the darling of the city right now, so a lot of people are jumping on board, but I think they're still confused. So let me just throw this out there right now. The five-game series was the play-in series for seeds 5 through 12. Seeds 1 through 4, and whether it was the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, were playing in a round-robin tournament because they didn't finish the regular season, so they were allowing a chance for teams to reseed. And the Flyers, even though they were the fourth seed to start the round-robin tournament, are now competing for either the first or second seed tonight against the Lightning. If the Flyers lose, they are the second seed going to the playoffs. If they win, they are the first seed. And they get to play that team that knocked off the Pittsburgh Penguins yesterday. The Pittsburgh Penguins are out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Oh my God, that was amazing. I thought they were going to come back and win. And then I thought they were going to win game five and they would be in the playoffs. No. The Penguins lose yesterday. Penguins eliminated.
Oh, light bulbs don't work in the scoreboard,
eh,
bud?
It was a joyous occasion watching the Penguins lose yesterday, and now they're out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's almost like the Cowboys not making the playoffs. It really is. If you're a Flyers fan, you know you hate the Penguins, so it's like the Cowboys not making the playoffs. So that's your quick rundown of the format. And now, you know, we'll see who wins tonight, if the Flyers are the one seed or the two seed. But I guess because there is so much confusion, maybe that's why there is that lack of buzz, I guess you can say. And maybe once the playoffs start, because it'll be the normal format, the normal seven-game series, and, you know, leading up to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think maybe people will start getting on board. But today is a day where we need to get excited for our Philadelphia Flyers. Because I tried bringing this up yesterday, and I want people to kind of react to it today. This is like a sense of pride for your city. The Flyers are competing for the top seed in a conference, the Eastern Conference, for the playoffs. Like, this is, you know, the Eagles, first round bye, one seed. This is the Sixers fighting for the top seed in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. This is the Phillies trying to have the most wins in the regular season and being the top team going into the playoffs. The Flyers tonight, at 8 o'clock, beginning at 8 o'clock, will compete for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And that is just amazing. And that should be a sense of pride for your city, whether you're a big hockey fan or not a hockey fan. If hockey is fourth in your pecking order, as I talked about just 2 minutes ago, but you are a Philadelphia sports fan, you should get on board tonight. I've been on board since the season, really, because of how much fun this team has been to watch. But now that we are here, one game away, one win away from being the top seed in the Eastern Conference, you should get fired up. You should get flyered up, as they say. The game, of course, will be on 97.5, the Fanatic, tonight. So you should be listening to Tim Saunders and Steve Coates and get excited. But it's a big day today. Flyers, Lightning competing for that top seed. And, you know, it's must-watch television. And it's 8 o'clock. It's not the weird 4 o'clock puck drop. It's 8 o'clock. You should be in. You should be watching. Can't go to a bar. All right, so you got to watch. It's something to be really excited about today. But here's what I want to do overall. Flyers, they play tonight. But the Flyers really started things last Saturday. So they've played really 1 week of real hockey. Because first they played the scrimmage against the Penguins. It was a scrimmage. But they've played 1 week of hockey. The Sixers have really played 1 week of basketball. The Phillies, even though they started 2 weeks ago, they then had that 8-game halt. And so this week was their first full week of baseball. So here's what I want to do today on the phones with you at 610-632-0975. I just want to see what have we learned so far through the first week of the real returns of these three teams. Not scrimmages, because the Sixers were scrimmaging previously, but obviously Brett Brown had to mix and match a lot of things and get guys some minutes. Even though his rotation was still ridiculous, the first two games, you saw the rotation get shorter in game three, but then Ben Simmons gets hurt, so now you have to mix and match again yesterday. What have you learned for the first week of the Philadelphia 76ers, the Philadelphia Flyers, who have played three games now to this point? Two games, excuse me. And what have you learned from the Philadelphia Phillies? Who, yes, they lost that series with the Marlins, but then there was that time off. So here we are now, a week through, where they played the New York Yankees, split that 4-game series. They were supposed to play the Atlanta Braves last night. It got rained out. So they'll play today, and they're going to have a doubleheader tomorrow. And one of those games will be started by the phenom, Spencer Howard. So the Phillies now have, as we hope, a real rotation. Like, if Spencer Howard is the real deal, and he looked really good in those inter-squad games, you now have a rotation of Zach Wheeler, who is pitching like the ace of the staff, Aaron Nola, who pitched very well in game two. Like, he looked like an ace in game two. I'm not saying he didn't. Game one, he struggled, but game two, he looked really good, and of course, it was destroyed by the bullpen's performance. That's going to happen a lot this year with all starting pitchers. And now you have Spencer Howard. And that's a viable 1-2-3 if Spencer Howard is the real deal. And then Eflin, who looked okay through a lot of pitches, he didn't get any help from his defense. Gene Segura had an error. Scott Kingery had an error. There's two unearned runs. But Zach Eflin looked okay. Zach Eflin is a pretty good number four or number four, five star, depending on where you put Jake Arrieta. So there's your five in the rotation. The bats are starting to come alive a little bit. They looked good in the series against the Yankees, except for that Aaron Nola game where they could only score one run. But the Phillies bats were alive. The rotation could be a little more legit. The bullpen is still terrible. And we'll see if Vince Velasquez makes that transition to the bullpen. If he does, how does he look? We'll find all these things out. The Sixers. I saw a great tweet last night, and I don't know who tweeted it, but it was a great tweet. The guy said the Sixers are 3-1, but it feels like 0-4. Because so far the Sixers have played four pretty bad teams. The Pacers are not a bad team, but there was no Malcolm Brogdon, there was no Domantas Sabonis. So the Pacers were missing two pretty big players. And the Sixers lost that game because T.J. Warren decided to put up over 50 points. And the Sixers decided to give up over 40 in the fourth quarter, which was a disaster. But the Sixers, who are 3-1 in the bubble, they haven't looked that great. And yesterday, they ended up turning it on in the fourth quarter. Joel Embiid had a great second half. There was a lot of complaints at halftime. You know, Charles Barkley and Draymond Green did their low-hanging fruit. He's got to go down low more. I get it. And then there was a lot of run on the Draymond Green cut because Draymond Green plays in the league currently. So a lot of people, and we'll get that later on in the show. A lot of people were saying, you know, Draymond Green has a point. Look, he plays in the league. Draymond Green saying what a lot of people think, that if Embiid was down low every single time, he'd be dominant. And every time he steps out, he basically gives, it's a free pass for his defender. All right. It's a part of his game. He hits the occasional three. Like, I don't really like the transition three that he sometimes attempts. I don't think he's not that. Like, when he trails, and at this point, it's not a three-on-one. He's the 10th guy making it down the court. When he's the 10th guy making it down the court, I don't need Embiid getting the ball and shooting right away. Now, set up the offense. So there's a lot of run on the Draymond Green stuff, a lot of run on the Charles Barkley stuff yesterday. But you know what? Joel Embiid, he turned it on in the second half. And Joel Embiid was a big reason, probably the reason why the Sixers won against the Magic. Now, that being said, it was the Magic. It was the Magic with no Aaron Gordon. It was a banged-up Magic team. It was the same thing with the Wizards. No Bradley Beal. No Davis Bertans. You lost to the Pacers with two of their star players out. And you barely beat the Spurs. And the Spurs are awful. So, through week one of the Sixers, I learned that they're not ready. And that's a problem because there's only four games left until they can be ready. And Ben Simmons is hurt. And I don't know what the deal is with Ben Simmons. You know, Anthony asked me yesterday, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Anthony asked me yesterday, do you play him? And my thing is, listen, if he can play and there is no fear, no concern of him making the injury worse where he misses an entire season or misses half a season next year, then play. Because it is the playoffs. And you guys know me. I'm Mr. Asterix next to the champion, unless it's the Bucks or the Lakers because they're the two top teams in their conferences. I'm Mr. Asterix next to the NBA championship this year. But even though I say that, it's still the playoffs. It's still the NBA championship. And if the Sixers believe that they have a chance of making that run, it's the playoffs. Ben Simmons has to go out there if he can. Now, if he can't, right? Remember, initial reports on that MRI said everything was clean. Then a day later, we find out that he has a slight dislocation in his knee. If he can't play, then obviously he's not going to play. And then we have to find out, you know, what can they do without Ben Simmons? And I already saw the tweets yesterday. Hey, look, Joel Embiid played great in the second half. It was probably because Ben Simmons wasn't out there. And that's the kind of stuff that we have to read, and that's the kind of stuff we have to hear on the phones, and that's the kind of stuff that I guess we have to talk about, even though I don't think it's true. I get it, there's numbers out there when Simmons is off the court, Embiid plays better XYZ. It's the same thing for Simmons. When Embiid's off the court, Simmons puts up more numbers offensively. It makes sense.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There are two guys that can play and dominate down low, obviously. But the Sixers, through week one, haven't impressed me, except for Tobias, who's played some good games. Obviously, Embiid has been the best. Al Horford looked really good yesterday, offensively and defensively. The shake milk thing is still a concern of mine. I was here 1 week ago. Josh, you're my witness. I said that Shake Milton is still a huge question mark for me. And he's played okay. He hasn't played great. He hasn't played poorly, but he's been okay. And is okay good enough? I don't think so. Is Shake Milton, with the ball in his hand, playing okay, better than what it would have been if Ben Simmons continued to play as the traditional point guard with the ball in his hand or positionless basketball, whatever you want to call it? But clearly, before Ben Simmons gets hurt, Ben Simmons looked lost offensively. And because he looks lost offensively, did you help your team putting an okay Shake Milton out there? Or did you hurt your team by really taking away what Ben Simmons does best? And that's running the offense and facilitating. because what I saw was Ben Simmons going to the corner and sort of staying there and not really doing much and scoring 8 points in back-to-back games. And you need more out of Ben Simmons with that. And then there's the Flyers. The Flyers have been dominant. The Flyers make it look easy in their first two games of the round-robin tournament, beating the Bruins this past Saturday, and it was just incredible. And then beating the Caps 2 days ago, again, easy. 17 shots the Caps took. 17 shots. There are people out there that were like, oh, I don't want Brian Elliott in that. I was okay with it because you got to give him some real game action, not just a period and then an overtime in a scrimmage. And plus, Brian Elliott has played well against the Capitals this year. And if you really wanted to win, which I think that's what Alain Vigneault's plan was to win and be the higher seed, you go with the guy who's played well against the Caps this year, who is Brian Elliott. But man, did they make it easy for him. 17 shots faced. Incredible. So the Flyers have looked dominant. And that's why, you know, they're the darling of the city of Philadelphia right now. And that's why I am kind of confused as to why there is a lack of buzz when it comes to the Flyers, like on the phone lines and even just walking around and talking about it. Not many people in Flyers gear. Now, of course, not many people are walking around the city, period, because, you know, COVID. But today's a day where I want to celebrate. Today's a day where I want to look forward to a big game tonight. Today's a day where you should take pride that your hockey team, A, if you're a Flyers fan, period, you're fired up. But if you are a hockey's fourth of my pecking order, but I am a Flyers fan, you should get fired up today. Because they are competing for the top seed in the Eastern Conference, which is something that you should take a lot of pride in. So the number to get in today is 610-632-0975. Here are the things that we're starting the show off with. I'll open some other stuff down the road. But here's the stuff that we're going to open up with. Just straight up, I want you to get excited for the Flyers. That's easy, right? Call in and talk about how excited you are for tonight, you know, how you're going to watch it. I want to hear really from those guys where Flyers are third and fourth in their pecking order. You hear me. Hockey's fourth in my pecking order, but I am fired up today. It was one of the first things I thought about when I woke up. First, when I woke up, I said, damn, did I oversleep my alarm? And no, I didn't. Good thing. Number two was, Flyers are playing tonight at 8 o'clock, and I can't wait. So for you Flyers fans, you non-hockey fans, but you're a Flyers fan because they're from the city of Philadelphia, I want to hear you. Are you getting up for tonight's game? Are you fired up? And then the other thing, overlooking the three teams that are playing in the city of Philadelphia right now, your Phillies, your Flyers, and your Sixers. We are 1 week into their respective seasons. And I know it should be week like three for the Phillies, but because of the layoff, because of the time off due to the concerns from the Miami Marlins and their COVID, the first place Miami Marlins, isn't that crazy? The Phillies, I'm going to say, played their first real week of baseball. The Flyers played their first week of real hockey. Not counting scrimmages, they played in those round-robin games. Sixers, not counting scrimmages, played in their first week of real basketball. So what have you learned from those three teams? For me, I've learned that the Phillies bats are on and off, right? They're not going to bring it every single night. They lose, you know, the 3-1 game to the Yankees when Aaron Nola was on the mound. But they've been pretty damn good. Oh, JT Realmuto, you should sign that guy, Phillies. He's the best catcher in baseball, but what do I know? The rotation could be the real deal if Spencer Howard is the real deal. And by that, I mean you have three competent pitchers in Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Spencer Howard. And then Zach Eflin, if he's your 4 or 5, you'll take that. So that's kind of the stuff that I learned from the Phillies. And yes, the bullpen still sucks. The Flyers. I'm learning that the Flyers have all the confidence in the world and that the Flyers are not scared of any team. They went out there and the Bruins just, they made them look terrible. And I think they took the soul of the Boston Bruins, who then lose their second game. So I think they took the soul of the Boston Bruins. I think they took the soul of the Caps, and I hope they take the soul of the Lightning tonight. But the Flyers are showing to you that that layoff, and this was a concern of mine and a concern of a lot of people's, that the layoff would kill all momentum that they had. And here's what they've showed you. They're showing you that they just weren't a hot team before the stoppage. Yes, they were a hot team, but they were a good hot team. wasn't like the Colorado Rockies in 2007 where, you know, they got really hot. And yeah, you know what? They made it to the World Series. But that Colorado Rockies team wasn't that great. They beat the Phillies, unfortunately. But this Flyers team was not only hot before the stoppage, they were legit. And at what we're seeing now is that the stoppage did not kill all momentum. They are still good, and they're gaining momentum, and hopefully it continues tonight. And the Sixers, well, have I learned anything? I guess the only thing that I learned is that what I talked about 1 week ago today, this past Saturday, is that all those concerns that I had actually came to fruition. That Shake Milton isn't as great as people wanted, like hoped that he would be, right? He looks okay out there. He hit the game-winning three against the Spurs, but he's looked okay out there. Ben Simmons wasn't going to be willing to shoot, even though he did it in a couple of scrimmages. That was one of my concerns. He ended up taking two against the Wizards, but then he gets hurt and he missed both. But the whole idea of Ben Simmons not looking all that great. I was wrong about Al Horford. Well, not wrong. One of my concerns was Al Horford was still going to look old, but Al Horford has played pretty well. But a couple of my concerns, Brett Brown not really figuring it out was one of my concerns. Actually, it wasn't even a concern. It was like, no, I don't think Brett Brown has this thing figured out. And it looks like so far I'm right. Even though they are 3-1, they haven't looked great in these four games. So, what have you learned from the three teams in their first week in their respective seasons? 610-632-0975. And also, just Flyers talk in general. Big day for the Flyers as they compete for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And I just want to hear from all Flyers fans. Obviously, if hockey's your number one sport, I want to hear your full-on excitement. Right? Let's go. But if you're a hockey is third or fourth in the pecking order, I need to hear from you. Are you jumping on board or are you on board? Have you been on board? I've not missed a second of the round robin tournament. I hope there are others like me where hockey is fourth in your pecking order where you haven't missed a second yet. Maybe you missed the Bruins game, but then you didn't miss a second of the Caps game. And if you did miss both games, you should not miss tonight. 610-632-0975. I'll get Josh Rabick's thoughts on the other side. Greg and Charles, you guys hang tight. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you till noon right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.